paranormal experiences don't really work to a timescale, and therefore, we invite you to listen to a dark minisode. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to this week's dark minisode. As always, I'd like to thank each and every one of you for all of your experiences that have come through in the last week. Genuinely, I believe it's the largest week of submissions we've ever received. But as always, do not take that to mean we don't require your experience. Because if you are sat on a dark paranormal experience that you've never felt able to tell anyone, like today's submitter, you can do so by following the link in the show notes where it says Submit My Experience. And as always, also in the show notes, you can grab a free week trial of our Patreon at any tier. And if you enjoy your stay amongst what I genuinely believe are the best paranormal community anywhere, then for less than a coffee a month, you can get rid of all ads. At our highest tier, you gain access to 240 plus hours of back catalogue of the Dark Bite show, something that goes out weekly to Patreons every week of the year, as well as a second weekly show that goes out as video and audio called After Dark. And in that episode, I take a look at what we've discussed recently, and you get to see the inner workings of how my brain goes about coming up with theories, etc. But all of that information is below in the show notes. But let's move swiftly on to today's dark minisode, because it's a very interesting one. And it was sent to us by Rachel in Sale, which is just outside of Manchester in the UK. And Rachel writes, "Hi Kev, I've been listening for around a year and a half now, mostly on my commute to and from work. I've sat on this experience for a long time as I didn't think it was dark enough for a main episode. But ever since you began doing minisodes of shorter experiences, I debated sending this in. I had it three quarters typed out on my phone, so I decided to finish the whole thing and send it through. Hopefully this will fit a minisode, but you place it where you see fit. My name is Rachel and I live in Sale, just outside Manchester. I still live here now, about 10 minutes from where all this happened. My nan passed away two winters ago. She was 84. It wasn't exactly sudden. She'd been poorly for a while, but it still knocked the wind out of all of us when it actually happened. My lovely nan had lived in the same terraced house on the same street since she got married in the 60s. And because I was the only grandchild without kids of my own, and I was renting at the time, it kind of made sense for me to take the house, rather than sell it straight away while the family worked out what to do with it. I moved in about 6 weeks after the funeral. I want to say now, I'm not someone who's believed in any of this before. I have listened to your show for quite a while, as I said, initially not because I was a believer, but I enjoy allegedly true paranormal experiences in the way you enjoy a horror film. And most certainly not because I'd ever experienced anything or ever thought I would. I still half don't believe what I'm about to tell you, even though I lived through it. The house is a normal two up, two down, the kind you get streets and streets of around here. Bay window at the front, a yard out the back. Nothing about it looks wrong from the outside, I promise you that. The only slightly unusual thing about it is that it forms the start of a sort of inward curve, so it's slightly bigger than the house either side, if only marginally. And there's a boxed-in bit under the stairs that's deeper than you'd expect for that size of house. It goes back further than the cupboard in the house next door, which is basically identical in every other way. My nan would keep the Hoover, the ironing board in there. There were coats on hooks on the back of the door. All normal things that I never thought twice about whilst growing up. Maybe about 3 weeks after I'd moved in, I began properly going through the clear-out process, going through Nan's old things, which I'd obviously been putting off. I was in that cupboard under the stairs, moving out all of the shoes, coats, boxes. and I noticed there was a section of the back wall, behind where all these boxes and shoes had been, that was a slightly different colour brick to the rest. I want to say it wasn't obviously different, but I kind of guess it must have been for me to notice. And it was definitely noticeable when I put the torch on my phone up against that wall. Open brackets, there was a light bulb and switch within that room, however, as far as I can remember, it's never worked. Close brackets. But this different coloured brickwork had a seam, like it had been filled in at some point. And it was roughly the shape of a normal door, but only about 4 foot high. I honestly didn't think a huge amount about it at the time. The old houses round here, well, there's something been bricked up or boarded over from 100 years before. And most buildings would have housed a number of families well into the double digits. Though I did mention this weird door-shaped brickwork to my mum over the phone. And she said she vaguely remembered my nan saying something once about there being an old coal cellar, but that the access had been sealed up before she and my granddad ever moved in. So it was nothing to worry about, it was just how the house was built. And I'll confess, it was a huge relief to hear that. Because although I didn't believe in the paranormal, I was still alone in a terraced house. And there is something of a vibe or a pulse to living in an apartment block. You see people constantly. You don't realise just how silently you live alone until you live alone in a house. So, yes, even as a non-believer in the paranormal, I was rather relieved for my mother to state these things. It was around a week after when the scratching started. It was faint at first and always at night, always somewhere between 11 and 1 a.m. I genuinely thought it was mice, which wouldn't have been a shock in a house that old, with a coal cellar sealed up somewhere behind a wall. So I put traps down, humane ones, under the stairs and in the kitchen. Nothing ever got caught, and the scratching continued. And by continued, I mean it grew more regular, like clockwork almost. It would happen 3 or 4 times a week. But here's the first thing that properly unsettled me. I was laying in bed one night, about 5 weeks into living there, and I hear the scratching start up as usual, coming from downstairs. Except this time, underneath it, very, very faintly, I could hear what sounded like breathing, slow, wet sounding, the kind of breathing you'd associate with someone who had a chest infection. But I convinced myself it was anything other than the paranormal. I told myself it was pipes or the boiler. Anything. I think my brain was doing everything it could to not accept what my ears were actually telling me. So I didn't go down and look. I'd put my headphones in and eventually drop off to sleep. And I know that sounds insane written down, but at 2 a.m, alone in a house you've only recently moved to, you make decisions at night that you probably wouldn't make in daylight. A few nights after that, there was a smaller thing that stuck with me almost as much as everything else. Again, I'm in bed, not quite asleep, and I hear footsteps on the stairs. Ordinary ones. Not creepy or anything like that. I think, ironically, that's what was creepy about it. Besides from the obvious fact I lived alone. But they were ordinary footsteps. The way you'd walk up your own stairs without even thinking about it. But these footsteps stopped right outside my bedroom door. I lay there waiting for the handle to turn. But nothing happened. I must have lay there for around 10 minutes before deciding I was going to check. And when I did, the landing was empty. Both of the other doors shut, just as I remember doing before bed. I told myself it was the house settling, but I know what a house settling sounds like. And it isn't footsteps that come up the stairs and stop outside your bedroom door. But the thing that actually made me start to question what was going on happened 2 weeks later. I'll be the first to admit I am not the most organised man in the world, especially when it comes to organising a dinner party. There's usually always a missing ingredient, and normally it's the main ingredient, which then leads to a rushed supermarket trip to pick the best of the worst that's been left out. A problem that would simply not exist if I was stateside and able to use Omaha steaks. With the ability to get fresh Omaha steaks and keep them frozen in my freezer, I would never have this danger again. With things like their legendary steaks, their flavor-filled burgers, and seafood and chicken, it's like having your own trusted butcher and gourmet food shop right at home. And you may think, can frozen delivery be this good? Well, yes. Omaha Steaks are known for their meticulous aging process and vacuum-sealed individual packaging. And if you've never tried them before, start perfectly with the Burger Perfection Flight. The Burger Perfection Flight includes four pure ground versions of the following meats: filet mignon burgers, New York strip burgers, ribeye burgers, brisket burgers, and sirloin burgers. Try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. And get $35 off with the promo code BEEF. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF, for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply, see the site for details. There's not much you can do about the money you have now. But if you want to do something about the money you could have tomorrow, Acorns wants to help. And with the Acorns Potential screen, you can find out what your money is capable of. Acorns is a smart way to give your money a chance to grow. It's easy. You can sign up in minutes and start automatically investing your spare money, even if all you have is spare change. Because Acorns grows with you. Whether you're just starting out or thinking about settling down, Acorns supports your big and small goals across every life stage. And the Acorns Potential screen shows you the power of compounding and how your money can grow over time. Plus, you can quickly adjust how much you're investing every day, every week, or month to make sure you're building towards your goals. Acorns is an all-in-one. No more finance apps cluttering up your phone. With Acorns, you can invest, save, and give your money a chance to grow in one trusted place. I've had and used many financial applications, but the specific thing about the Acorns app I love is the potential screen. Of all the apps I've used, it gives me such a clear picture of the opportunities for my cash to grow. So sign up now, and Acorns will boost your new account with a $5 bonus investment. Join the over 14 million all-time customers who've already saved and invested over $22 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/darkparanormal or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid non-client endorsements. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. T2 compensation provided. Potential subject to various factors such as customers' accounts, age, and investment settings. Does not include Acorns fees. Results do not predict or represent the performance of any Acorns portfolio. Investment results will vary. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/darkparanormal. I'd had a few drinks with a friend from work. Nothing major, and I got home about 11:30. I went straight up to bed without really turning on any lights, which is something I wouldn't normally do, but I was exceptionally tired. I woke up at some point in the night, and I knew straight away something was different, because the room felt cold in a way it hadn't before. As in, properly cold. Like standing in a walk-in freezer cold, not just a chilly bedroom. I was laying on my side, facing the wall, and I started hearing the breathing again. Except this time, it wasn't coming from downstairs. It wasn't coming from outside my door. It was in the room. And it was close. I'll be honest with you here and now and say I have never in my life been more frightened than I was in that moment. Laying completely still, too scared to even open my eyes properly. Trying to work out if I was imagining it. Praying I was imagining it. I forced myself to turn over. There was nothing on the bed with me, nothing I could see anyway. But in the corner of the room, by the door, was a shape. I can't describe it even now as any better than a shape. Because it wasn't like the shadow figures people see. No tall or man-shaped thing. This was low down, hunched if it was a being, and more the height of a child, but wrong somehow. There were no proportions. There were no arms or body. It wasn't moving. This blob just sat in the corner. And I could hear this blob breathing that same wet breath, steady, as if it was not in a hurry. I've no idea how long I lay there watching it before anything changed. Long enough that my eyes properly adjusted to the dark, and I could make out the edge of this shape against the wallpaper. Then it shifted its weight, ever so slightly, the way you'd shift if you were sitting on the floor and felt uncomfortable. And with this shift, its breathing sped up. That was the point I stopped being able to just lie there. I made myself reach for my phone on the bedside table to put the torch on, and as you may guess where this is going, the second the light came on, the thing was gone. Not faded, not moved, gone. Like it had never been there before. And the room was back to normal temperature, almost instantly. I did not sleep in that room again. I moved the mattress into the front bedroom, and I didn't go back into the back bedroom for almost a fortnight, which caused its own problems because that was where all of my clothes were. About a month after this incident, I was talking to a friend of my nan's who lives on the same street. She'd known my nan for as long as they'd lived there, but she also knew the people who lived there before. Without mentioning anything about what I'd experienced, I felt the need to push for more details. She was rather cagey when I brought up the cellar, but she did eventually say that the people who lived there before my nan and granddad apparently rented out their cellar to a lodger who had lived in their cellar for years, only moving out when the family above moved home. She implied he wasn't too happy about it either. That's not the entire truth, though, because what she actually said was it didn't stop him from going in when the house was up for sale. So it turns out the family who lived there moved to their new property whilst this one was still on the market. And this lodger had been breaking in and going down into the cellar. She went on to say the father of the family returned and bricked up the cellar to make sure it could be sold quickly without this man hindering the sale. And then she gave a very strange smile and said the lodger must have been a very brave man. Steve was known for his fists. I naively asked if he was a boxer. And she laughed and said, "No, love, I just mean you wouldn't want to be on the wrong side of him." And yes, off that piece of information, I too made the conclusion that Stephen had done away with the lodger and bricked him up behind the wall. Now, I will say I didn't and haven't, as of yet, knocked down that wall to investigate further. And I've no intention of doing so. Because the scratching and indeed any sight of this blob seem to have stopped. But there is a caveat to this cessation of noise and sightings, and I've only thought that it's a possibility after hearing you discuss something similar. You see, sadly, we buried my father at the start of the year, and obviously with him having a terminal illness, all of my focus was on my dad, or grieving. Although you never completely stop grieving, I do feel like I'm in a much better place. However, I do recall you mentioning that perhaps when we are grief-struck or we're very occupied in our own minds, we may miss what goes on in our very own homes from a paranormal standpoint. And to be very real with you, only after hearing that episode recently, it has put me somewhat on edge. Although to date, there are no more scratches and no more blobs. But if that changes, and I sincerely hope it doesn't, I'll be sure to let you know. Kind regards, Rachel. Well, Rachel, thank you so much for providing this week's minisode. I'm smiling as I'm saying this part because the reason I found this so interesting is I wonder if you were a total believer in the paranormal, if that wall would have already been knocked down. And I caught myself asking myself if I would knock that wall down if I was in the same situation. And I still can't decide if I would or I wouldn't. There are definitely pros to it, and there are definitely cons. But I think there's a good chance the cons outweigh the pros. There's something about a wall that once featured a door or a window that is now walled up or bricked up that gives me a bit of a chill. And due to window taxes that were levied way back in the day in England, there are many bricked up windows in Liverpool city centre. Rachel, thank you for your submission, and maybe some things are best left in the dark. So until next time, I want you all to stay safe and take care.